You have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Lord really didn't intend it to be this way, but over the last few lessons that we've had, we've talked about power and the power, you know, that Jesus has. All power is given Him in heaven and earth, and He has empowered us as His people to do His work, and that everything we need, we have in Jesus Christ. And I want to deal with the thought of power maybe from a little bit different perspective tonight. Don't you think about Jesus being crucified? And if you had been one of the disciples that walked alongside Jesus for three and a half years, you ate with Him, and you know, when He laid down to sleep, maybe you would lay down to sleep and, you know, sit around the fire, or maybe meet in a room somewhere, and just you kind of, your life had revolved around Jesus being with you, or you being with the Lord. That's what you come to know. That's what you were comfortable with, is Jesus is right there. If I get in a little too deep water, the Lord is right there to bail me out. If I can't cast out the devils, I know I can come to Jesus, and Jesus will figure out the problem, and He'll show me the error of my ways, and He'll cast them out. And so it would be very easy to get used to the power of the Lord and Him taking care of things, even so much that you would realize, I really can't do anything without Him. I have no power in myself. But as long as the Lord is here, everything is fine. And then for the Lord to be crucified. Yes, He preached about the resurrection, and they should have known that lesson. They should have believed it. They should have had great faith. But the fact is, He was crucified and He was placed in a borrowed tomb. And those disciples, I believe, after He was crucified, they felt defeated. I believe there's plenty of examples in Scripture where they just felt very defeated. News of the resurrection was met with criticism, skepticism, that, you know, that He just, you know, there's no way this could be. Even after some of the men saw the Lord, they would try to tell others, and Thomas, we know, said, I'm not going to believe what you say. I'm not going to believe your witness. I don't believe this happened. And the only way I would believe it, if I put my fingers in the nail prints of His hands. So I believe that when they met together after the Lord was crucified, that they just had a very defeated attitude. That, you know, even later on we read, even further on in the story, we find where Peter said, I go a fishing. Just, you know, if the Lord's not going to be here with us, then I am going to go back to what I know best. I'm going to go back to fishing. And I believe, and I've said this many times, I believe He was saying, I throw in the towel. If the Lord is not going to be here with us, I'm going to throw in the towel. And they said, we go with you. I go with you. If you're going fishing, Peter, I'm going too. And so I want you to think about maybe the atmosphere that must have been like right after the Lord was crucified, up until they laid their eyes on Him, what that must have been like. I know Peter had just denied the Lord, and he went out and he wept bitterly, and that was still very fresh. And, you know, just whenever you have a setback like Peter did, I guess a setback will be the right word, but to be disappointed in yourself, the way Peter was disappointed in himself for letting the Lord down, it would be so easy just to be depressed, to be discouraged in every way. And I believe that's the atmosphere that we deal with in these latter Scripture. But I want you to go back and remember now the disciples, whenever Jesus preached something that was hard for them to hear, and many of the disciples walked away and they did not walk with Him anymore, Jesus turned to those faithful and He said, will you go also? And they said, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go if we're not with you? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. So, in other words, with Jesus, we have everything. And without Him, oh, how lost we truly are. Without Him, we have nothing. He's the reason that the world was framed. He's the reason that all things exist. And so with Him, we have everything. Without Him, we have nothing. And so while He's with us, we have power. Without Him, we have nothing. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name among all nations, in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are His witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He departed from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, when Jesus appeared in the midst, the atmosphere of the room changed. It went from sadness and just brokenhearted and discouraged and down and out. And it went from sadness to, first of all, to be terrified because they didn't know what they were experiencing. They did not understand how could Jesus be in the room with us. And so they were terrified, supposing they had seen a spirit. But then you look down at verse 41, it says, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, have ye here any meat? They still didn't believe, and they were overjoyed, and they were wondering what in the world is going on. But if you can just get a picture of thinking, this is just too good to be true. How can this be? This is too good to be true. You know a lot of things with God just too good to be true seem like, and yet it is. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not all trouble all the time. That whenever we're with Christ, there's things that seem to be too good to be true, but they are true. And that's something that I think we need to cling to, is there's great joy in Christ. They couldn't even believe for the joy that they had and the wondering that they had. And so, if you go down on into the last two verses, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So, from defeat to unstoppable in a matter of moments. And look at what made the difference. Jesus was in the midst. I like that phrase there. Jesus was in the midst. That makes all of it. That changes everything. It changed everything with these disciples. What shall we do? We've been with the Lord all this time, and now He's not with us. What shall we do? Where are we going to go? We've been with Him. Do we go back fishing? Do we go back to our occupation? Where do we go if He's not with us? We don't have any power. We don't have any direction. We don't know what to do if He's not with us. What is the point? I believe we live in a world that is desperately needing Jesus. Everywhere you look, from one end to the other, this world needs Jesus. And yet, they turn their nose up at Him. They scoff at Him. They want anything but the Lord. We can serve any God but Jesus. We can look anywhere but the church. And yet, whatever you stop and consider life without Jesus, you have to stop and say, what's the point? What is the point? He is the point. He is the reason. He's the power. He's the reason all things exist. It's because of Him. So no doubt when they felt like, you know, He's not here with us anymore, what's the point in continuing on? I just can't believe. Thomas, well, I'm not going to believe. I don't care what y'all say. I'm not going to believe till I put my fingers in His hands and those nail prints. I just cannot believe. Let's go fishing. Let's throw in the towel. This is a reoccurring theme throughout the Bible. If God be for us, who can be against us? But whenever He's not with us, I think about Samson and how he had such great strength, but whenever he finally, the Lord departed, the Bible said he wished not that the Lord had departed from him. And he realized something. I have no strength. I don't have anything in myself. I have no power. It was the Lord all alone. Jesus went to sleep on a boat. His disciples all loaded up on the boat with Him. He said, let us go to the other side. He went down and he went to sleep. I want you to get a picture in your mind just a minute of disciples that knew everything there is to know seemingly about the ocean. That was their livelihood. That's what they were comfortable with. That's their wheelhouse. That's what they did. And now they're on a boat and they get out on the sea and a storm comes up. You know, they're probably watching that storm. Oh, that looks like a pretty good one there. Yeah, but I've seen storms before. We'll be okay. And it starts getting windy. You know, well, we can handle this. No big deal. Then it sure enough gets rough and they start fighting and toiling. And then the boat starts taking on water and they start trying to get water out of the boat. You know, we've all been here before. And then all of a sudden they realize, we are so far out of our comfort zone, it's unbelievable. And to understand, we're going to perish. We don't have any power to do anything here. And then to remember, oh yeah, Jesus is on the boat. And to go down and wake Him up, and all of a sudden there He stands in the midst. Everything changes. Peace, be still. And then just watch the water go calm. Peace, be still. And they stand amazed. Even the wind obeys Him. Can you imagine that? What that must have been like? Even the wind obeys Him. To understand when He's standing in the midst of us that He has all the power in the world. He makes all the difference in the world. He comes up and just commands the wind. What a difference the Savior makes. I'll mention this and move along. You have those three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they stood in a face-off with a king that had the power to destroy them, he thought. In his mind, there's nobody in their right mind would disobey me. Don't you know I have the power to destroy you? All right, men, maybe you didn't hear me. We're going to repeat all this music. And when you hear it, you better bow down. If not, I'm going to cast you the same hour into the furnace. And they said, we're not even careful to answer you. You can just stop. We're not even careful to answer you. And this is what I love about the story. They said, our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. You don't have any power except God gives it to you. You don't have any power, O king, unless God... I know I didn't say it in those words, but that's basically what they were letting him know. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hands. You don't have any power unless the Lord lets you have it. So he thinks he has power anyway. Heat that furnace up, get it good and hot. So hot that it slays the men that were standing there to throw them in. Those guards, fire consumed them. So hot. You talk about an angry king. He was so mad, he didn't care if he killed his own men. He was, I'll kill them all. And he throws them into the fire, and he looks in. Did we not throw three men in the fire? There's another one walking in the midst of them, likened to the Son of God. I wonder who told him that. Who told him what the Son of God looked like? There's another one in the midst of them, and he's likened to the Son of God. God is able, so we're going to stand by faith. I want to tell you, the fourth man in the fire made the difference for them. When Jesus is in the midst of the fire, guess where we need to be? I tell you, we're living in a day where everybody's trying their best just to stay out of the fire. If that's where the Lord is, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. All the talk, that's all we hear is safety this and safety that these days. I tell you, sometimes the Lord calls us to not be so safe. And I'm not saying that in an ugly way or trying to, you know, tell you how to raise your children or family or anything else. But tell you what, when David walked out on the battlefield with Goliath, he didn't, that just didn't seem very safe. But he knew God was with him. That made all the difference in the world. If the Lord's in the fire, that's where we need to be. When Jesus is in the midst, that changes everything. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He's speaking to the church here. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Think about that, what he just told us as a church. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The same power over the sea. When I think of that, it's magnificent. Jesus walks out and says, peace be still, and the whole ocean just obeys him. The sea, the wind, obeys him. The same power in the fire. When three men are cast in, and there he is walking in the midst of them. The same power that conquered the grave. Jesus got up from death and walked away. The same power that we see in Scripture is in the midst of us. Every time we come together, led of the Holy Spirit and in one accord. Now, that being said, we may not be facing a furnace of fire or a stormy sea, but we do face things that discourage us. That's the battle we're in, a battle of being discouraged. Much like those disciples, a battle where the devil wants us to throw in the towel and say, what's the point? What's the point? A battle that tests our faith. A battle that challenges our ministry. I said, I'm going to leave you here to do my work. I want you to do my work by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's the job that we have. And we have the power to do it. I want to remind you, we serve a risen Savior. All power is given Him in heaven and earth, and we are His body. We have access to His throne. Why is that so special? Well, I want to point it out for this reason. How many of us are taking advantage of that? Falling down before His throne first. That's where our power comes from. We need to go to the Lord in prayer and seek His will so that we'll know which way we need to be going, the direction we need to take. To go to Him when we need help. Many times, Brother Mike, I find myself trying to lean to my own power. I got this. I can handle it. Hey, I'm a man. I can handle it. Just put the load on me. I'll carry it. I don't know how many times I've used this song in preaching, but oh, we surely like that song. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. But do we really believe that? Do we really believe that, man, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand? If you were to look over at Luke, I won't ask you to turn, but Luke 21, and you get down around verse 34. The Lord speaks of the last days there, the last days, I believe, tribulation, and maybe the last days leading up to tribulation. Seems like it's intertwined prophecy. There. And He speaks of men's hearts, and I don't use this word because it's very important. He speaks of men's hearts being overcharged. Think about that. I believe it's verse 34, if you're looking it up. But He speaks of men's hearts being overcharged with, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this right, serpenting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that surfeiting, I believe, means a hangover, basically. But if you go, look at that, he said in the last days that the cares of this life are going to drive people to just stay drunk. Drinking seemed like it's at an all-time high. Just, you know, it's become commonplace now. Be drunk. And then everywhere you look, I never thought I'd see this, Brother Brandon, but they're legalizing marijuana everywhere you look so that people can just get a little peace. So that people can just chill out. Well, see, in the last days, people are going to be so overcharged with the cares of the world that they're going to, it's going to drive them to drunkenness. Servanting. Now, it kind of paints a picture, don't it, of the cares of life being so much that men seek just to check out. Just too much for me to handle. Life's just too much for me. You hear that often these days. Life's just too much for me to handle. It's very much too much for you to handle. It is. Unless we look to the Lord, He's our power. And whenever you have the power, that word overcharge, I thought about this. I went up to, everybody's got to have Wi-Fi, especially with school and how unstable it is now. You know, so we had to get extra Wi-Fi so we could have extra internet. And so I went up and I said, I need to know what I've got to do to have more internet at my house. And they can't run a hard line or something on our side of the road. And she said, well, I tell you what you need. You need this little box, little hot box. And for so many dollars a month, you can get this and it'll give you what you need. And I said, okay, well, if that's what I need, then I'm going to get it. She said, well, I tell you what you're going to have to do. She said, you plug it up, but you take the battery out of it. She said, if you're going to use it in the house, just keep it plugged up. Don't even put the battery in it. I said, why not? She said, you will overcharge the battery and it'll explode. I'm glad she warned me. You'll overcharge it. It'll explode. Lord said in the last days, men's hearts are going to be overcharged with the cares of this world. We either try so hard to handle it all on our own, or we just realize I can't handle it, don't have no power, so I'm just going to check out. Hearts overcharged. Think about that. Men's hearts overcharged. There would be no need for such things if we tuned into the Lord Jesus Christ and allowed the Spirit of God to do what Jesus promised He would do. He's the Comforter. He has been sent to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to help us comprehend the Word of God, which is our hope. The Holy Spirit gives us an accurate charge to our heart and brings perfect peace and contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He wouldn't have said that if it's not true. We can be content in this life. But we're going to have to not worry so much about the cares of this world and focus more on the true power that we have. Make sure that Jesus is in the midst. He says, where two or three are gathered together, I'm glad I belong to a church that believes in God, that stands for the truth, and I believe with all my heart when you come as spiritual people. And that's a good thing. But imagine this. Imagine if we were, every time we come, not just two or three, but I believe as two or three probably show up, come in the name of the Lord. But imagine if every one of us did in one accord. We come together, and I'm talking about tuned in to the Lord. We're here for one purpose and one purpose only, that is to get what God has for us. What a beautiful thing that is to think. The same power that amazes us in Scripture, we have with us today. And when He's in the midst, it makes all the difference in the world. You pray for me that whenever I come to church that I won't be in self. But I'll be filled with the Spirit of God. Moved by the Spirit of God. To stand to preach with the power of God. That's for something.